Fan on Demand. If he's not talking about it, then it probably doesn't matter. Bob McGowan and Primetime Sports is on the air on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour number two of the radio program commences now. It's Tuesday, the 14th of January. Bob McCown with Elliot Friedman. Nick Kyprios and Michael Thompson, the Toronto City Councilor, will join us in this hour. Kyprios on hockey stuff. And Michael Thompson, here we go again. They are now talking about a Toronto bid for the 2024 Summer Olympics. Oh, great. Another opportunity to rent my house out.
This will keep you in business for another 10 years.
So no, I will not be. I promise you this. I will not be here for the execution of this schlamazel. We have a few more years. We could chat about it, but this isn't going to get serious for another couple, 3 years. And by that point, my exit visa will be stamped. It'll be somebody else's responsibility to take care of business. But this is, you know, and it's politicians who don't have 2 cents to rub together, mm-hmm. and don't have 2 cents, financial sense or brain sense. This is $6 billion that we're talking about in a city that had a power failure and a flood, mm-hmm. and is begging for money from the provincial and federal governments to help fund it. Now, I get that the feds would have to kick in a wackadoo and the province would have to kick in a wackadoo, but you know who that is? That's you and me.
Oh, we're paying for it.
And I don't want to pay for it. It's bad enough we're wasting all this money on the Mickey Mouse games in 2015, the Pan Am games. Now we're going to do Olympics? Bite me. And how many of the facilities for the Pan Am games will be good for the 2024 Olympic games? Like none?
They'll have to be upgraded.
Well, like none.
We have to what do some upgrading.
I'm going to build all new ones. It's colossally stupid, but we'll get to that.
Bob, I always love is the idea that, like some, what was the quote I heard today? This will put Toronto on the map.
I got news for you.
Like there's a map without Toronto on it?
Yeah,
who cares?
I got a map at home. Toronto's on it.
Yes.
I have more than one map. Find me a map that doesn't have Toronto on it.
I used to have a globe, too, when I was a kid, and it had Toronto on it.
Yeah. We don't need to be on the map. It costs us $6.5 billion.
I agree.
If you want to build something for $6.5 billion, build it. But don't
pay for it yourself.
Don't create edifices that have no use, that we turn into flower gardens afterwards, like Montreal. Like, I think the velodrome in Montreal, they put water in and put fish in it.
Like an aquarium?
Yeah, sort of like an aquarium. Oh, my tea is here. Can you pass that over, please?
That does not look like tea. Is that tea?
That's tea. Yeah, he knows.
There's a lot of milk in there.
No, there's only one.
Oh, okay.
I like a little milk with my tea. I have to have tea to stay awake. Isn't it refreshing in here today?
Yes.
They finally fixed the air conditioning after only 3 months. It only took them 3 months to do it. And we want to say thank you very much.
Maybe they were thinking that they were wondering why somebody would want the air conditioning fixed in the middle of our deep freeze.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's 6 degrees outside and it was a million in here. So, you're a basketball guy.
I was. I'm not as much anymore, but okay.
No, so Butch Carter's in for the last hour.
Yep.
And I had no intention of continuing the basketball conversation, and this may not last long.
Okay.
But Butch and I were talking, and we're talking about Kyle Lowry and what you do with him.
Okay.
And that's how it sort of started. And what does Masai do with a team that looks like it's pretty good, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. But Butch points out they got a bunch of bad contracts, mm-hmm. which they do. Lowry concerns him because Lowry has been traded a couple times.
Yes.
And there's a pattern here that Kyle Lowry gets in shape and plays his ass off when it's a contract year.
Yes.
And then the minute he gets his contract, gets fat and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not here to, I mean, history suggests that's true. But you also have to say this. There's nothing that Kyle Lowry is doing right now that you would be critical of.
Right.
Playing great. Playing great.
Mm-hmm.
Doing everything you want him to do. So we get into this conversation of what do you do? How do you fix it? Where do you go? What's your next step? Blah, 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 blah. So here's what comes up in the conversation. So guess whose contract is up at the end of this year?
Dwayne Casey's.
Yes. Not a Toronto Raptor.
Oh, okay.
Think further south.
Well, there'd be a lot of potential answers.
Think Miami.
Off the top of my head.
How about the best player in the game?
You're talking about LeBron James?
Yes.
Okay. I obviously that was the first answer that came to my head, but going through my head was also Bob can't possibly be thinking about
exactly.
LeBron James.
No, no, no. Right? And you're exactly right.
Okay,
and
where are we going with this?
Well, Butch happens to think.
Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. We got into a rather lengthy conversation during the commercial break about what could happen. You put Lewicki and his ego.
And Drake
into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that LeBron still has family is in Ohio, Northern Ohio, in around Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Still owns the house he bought in Cleveland. Bought the lot next door, apparently, to knock that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 40-minute flight, I think, from Toronto to Cleveland. He thinks he's either going back to the Cavaliers or here.
I don't know if I believe that.
I know. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, all right.
But do you think Lewicki would not think that big?
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you think he'd turn Drake loose?
Oh yeah. Like you know
and I can't tell you what Drake means.
If I was running one of the two corporations or Larry if I was Larry Tannenbaum, I would fire Tim Lewicki if he didn't make that pitch to LeBron James.
Well,
but if you're the Raptors or MLSC or whatever you want to call yourself, you have to say, look, when the time comes, we want a seat at the table. We just want to at least talk. Now, you may not get one. He might just say, forget it. But you have to at least go out there and say, okay, we want the right to come to your table and tell you, here's a check. It's blank. You're getting a max contract, obviously. But maybe we can try to do whatever it is that they could do without David Stern or Adam Silver finding out about it. Like, that's what I would say. Okay, none of this is going on paper, but what do you want?
Well, you do a sign and trade with Miami.
Yeah, if I was Miami, I wouldn't do that. If I was Miami, I would just I'd keep LeBron James the rest of the year and go for the championship.
Oh, no. I think this happens at the end of this year.
Oh, like in the summer?
Yes.
Oh, so you acquire his bird rights? Yeah, I guess you could do that.
Sure. No, I'm not talking about the rest of the show. I'm not talking about
you're talking about
deadline.
Like after the draft, after the NBA finals
100%,
are over.
Like, what does this team what does this team look like next year?
If I was running the Raptors, I would say go for it.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, that's a great sports radio conversation because there's absolutely no drawback to doing it. None at all.
And you're willing to give up, let's say, you probably have to give up somebody like DeMar DeRozan.
In the deal?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
Well, you do for cap reasons.
Well, you're not giving up DeMar DeRozan for a chance to,
no, but wait.
For a spec to talk to.
No,
LeBron
no, no,
James.
Not a spec. It's a sign and trade. It's so they would know that they have a deal with LeBron.
They're not getting a deal done with LeBron James. And if I was LeBron James, I wouldn't agree to that either.
I would, you know, my first blush was no, but Butch talked me into it.
I think, you know.
Butch at least talked me into the it's possible.
Look, he's going to the Lakers.
Oh, I think he's going to the Lakers.
He's going to a big stage. The only big, non-big stage he's going to is Cleveland. He's going to the Lakers. He's going to the Knicks. He's going somewhere. His one,
that all makes sense to me, his, and I get
because
that.
Because look, this is a guy who grew up in Akron, Ohio, and cheered for the New York Yankees and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but a lot of people do that.
No.
Those are the two Americas teams.
Yeah, but that's the point. Is
so
that,
he didn't want to cheer for the Indians, the Browns, or the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he wasn't,
which makes perfect sense.
He
to
wasn't
me.
Interested in that. He is a big time thinker. He is going to the big stage.
Close to home. Doesn't want to go back to Cleveland, but wants to be close to home.
You know, Bob, if you are in Butch or right about this, I will be the first one telling you.
It's Butch that floated the notion, and we had a conversation about it.
If you're telling me.
And it's an intriguing conversation.
Yes. It's a great sports radio conversation. If at the end of the year, if Tim Leiwicki was to walk up to his owners and say, look, I want to trade the rights of Kyle Lowry to the Miami Heat for the right to own LeBron James' right for 5 days or whatever it would be, I would say, go ahead and do it.
Well, yeah, but Lowry's a free agent, so.
Yeah, but you could still trade his bird rights to Miami.
Yes,
you know, you can do it. So, you know.
No, look, they'd have the conversation with LeBron first, and of course they can't have that conversation, but the rapper can.
Yeah, that's where the rapper can, or the raptor, the mascot,
yes,
maybe can. Absolutely.
Can have that conversation, and if there's a level of interest there, then there's a deal, you know.
Even then, Bob, I would just say, look, if you could trade for him so you have his rights for 5 days, so you get the opportunity to go in there and say, LeBron, here's your max contract for however long you want it.
Right.
And is there anything else we can nudge, nudge, wink, wink, do you like photography, do to make this deal work?
Do you like photography?
And that's Monty Python. If there's anything that we can do to make this work, we'll try it. I think absolutely. Now, you're probably not getting him, but why not give it a shot?
Would you move Lowry before the trade deadline?
It depends on what my
would you,
goals
wait a
are.
Sec. Let me start with this.
What am I getting?
Would you re-sign him?
No.
Okay. Therefore, he's going to go.
Yes.
Therefore, you're going to get nothing.
Or you get cap space if you feel you can use it.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Well, but it's not invaluable.
Well, the cap space isn't that huge.
You're probably trading them for something. Unless the organization feels it is worth making the playoffs, seeing what you do, because he's going to be motivated to play great and then lose him for nothing. Some organizations would look at that and say, that's worth it to us.
Yeah. Somebody makes you an offer that's half decent for him. Team needs a point guard for the playoff run.
If it's a decent offer, of course you listen.
You got no point guard, though. Who plays a point?
Well, you'd have to go out and get one.
Yeah.
Here's the other question, Bob. Are you signing Dwayne Casey to an extension?
I have no reason to suggest they wouldn't.
Then
or
you're not,
shouldn't.
You're not keeping Dwayne Casey and Kyle Lowry.
Well, we're not keeping Kyle Lowry under any circumstances.
Well, but I'm just saying that's another factor into this decision.
Well, I don't know what the relationship is like
now. Apparently it's not great.
Well, I heard it wasn't great, but then I've heard recently it's just fine. Thank
well,
you
it's
very
it's
much.
A marriage of convenience.
Well,
right
whatever
now.
It is.
Yeah.
You know. I
there's
mean,
no
Lowry
reason
is
to assume
what Lowry is.
Yeah.
And you know, it you know, I don't know the guy, but all the evidence points to he's playing for a contract.
Yeah.
And he's done it before.
Yep.
And then he gets fat and lazy.
Yep.
And he's probably going to get a $35 to $40 million contract this time around.
Probably.
So he'll get real fat and real lazy. And it's a risk you probably don't want to take if you're the Toronto Raptors. No matter how well he's played or will play the rest of this year. Because you already acknowledged you would not re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, if you've made that decision, regardless the impact on the team, provided you can get something. You don't trade him just for the sake of trading to get some bag of cheese so you can say, we got a bag of cheese instead of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a deal out there that makes any sense whatsoever, and as Butch pointed out, you got a lot of bad contracts you'd like to get rid of. Maybe you could get rid of the Lowry deal with another one.
Yeah.
With a bad another bad one. Like Fields, for example. Then it's a deal worth doing. But then you got to go beyond that, and then you go get LeBron.
Well, here's the other thing, too, Bob, is that...
But not Bosch.
Just
we don't
LeBron.
Want him back.
But if Wade wants to come, we'll consider you, too. But we're not bringing Bosch
back.
Well,
it would solve the issue of the point guard.
That's right. Here's the thing with Lowry, too, and making the playoffs. There are about 10 to 12 franchises in the NBA that have to be good to get anybody. And it's Milwaukee, and it's Indiana, and it's Toronto, and it's Minnesota, and it's a bunch of teams like that.
No, I don't disagree.
If Kyle Lowry gets you into the playoffs, and because you're the third seed, which a lot with a lot of awful teams, maybe you win a round before you get pummeled by Indiana or Miami, and somebody says, you know what, I see Toronto win a round, get into the playoffs. Maybe that's one of those 12 teams I might want to go to because there's a little bit exciting there. Is that worth it to you? Keeping Lowry and doing that.
I don't know.
I think that's the one question you have to weigh. I am generally not, I generally think that when it comes to the Raptors this year, just making the playoffs for the sake of making the playoffs to get pummeled in the first or second round is not very thrilling. But what they've done since they traded Gay and the way they've played, it does give you a little bit of reason for hope.
Yeah, look, we all get clouded. Our judgment gets clouded by victories and equally clouded by losses. And this little run, even for me, has reinvigorated my interest in the team.
You want to see what's going on here?
Yeah. What's the deal? Is it real? Is it sustainable? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sustainable for an extended period of time?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the rest of this year. I'm talking about are we seeing the nucleus now of a team that can be successful? And successful doesn't mean necessarily winning championships, but being a consistent, legitimate playoff
competitive team. That's all you want. The bar's low here.
Yeah.
All we want is a competitive team.
And I'm not at that point yet where I'm ready to concede that they are that team.
Too soon.
And I also know that your point guard's going to disappear, and you don't have another one, and you're going to have to go and get one. And the only thing that really changes the situation, and the one thing I think that we've come to understand about Lewicki is he likes to change the game.
He's like Dave Kingman. He's Mark McGuire. He's coming up to the plate with a 40-ounce bat.
Yeah, and the only thing he's interested in is hitting a home run.
And it's right. He's taking a
strikeout.
Not
interested in a single.
No. You know, I don't want the blue single. I don't want the can of corn.
No.
I want to hit one of the 500 level.
Yeah. And LeBron is that.
Yeah.
And LeBron will be out there.
And you know who else is that? Nick Kyprios.
No, he's not. He's been a singles hitter his whole life.
You're in my spot.
Sorry, bud.
That's all right.
You're wearing jeans underneath your.
I am. It's.
But that's your good
it's a
side.
Standard look.
No.
Is it my good side?
No, you really.
How
don't.
Are you guys doing?
You really don't have one. No,
Elliot,
I think about it.
Good Kipper. How are you doing, bud?
Good, good, good. Did you get a job here yet?
No,
or
no, nothing
what's the
like
deal?
That. No, I don't know. No conversation.
Want me to push
yet.
It forward?
No,
I know people. No. Bob knows people. we'll find you work, bud.
We'll figure it out.
He was bemoaning his future yesterday.
I was.
He was contemplating his future.
It's hard. It's hard. Honestly, it's hard.
No, I was sitting down on Sunday and I was just, okay, what's the plan here? What do I think is going to happen and where does it
want
to go?
People want certainty. They want to know what's happening. You've got a family. There's other people involved. It'd be nice, right?
Well, it's good to be challenged once in a while. Like it really, I think a little bit of uncertainty from time to time is good, but you also want to have a plan.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yes. It keeps you fresh.
Yeah, I don't like being on my toes. You like being on your toes?
I don't even have any toes. But listen, I don't want you to worry because if all else fails, you can always go back to the score.
Yes. Well, they're owned by these guys
now, crap.
Too.
It doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
Oh, never mind. That's not
it's
a
like
good
It's like we're
idea.
Playing Monopoly and Rogers has Boardwalk and all
Parkway.
The rest of them.
Oh, my God. You've got two hotels on this spot? I don't have enough money to pay for that.
You got to pay some serious rent. So what's up? What are you talking?
Are you making regular appearances now on Hockey Night in Canada?
I had that one early. And
what's the deal with this?
I don't know. I don't know.
So how did that come about? I want to know. Because I turn on my television set and there's your fat face
I know.
Looking at me.
I was
you look
asked,
beautiful that night,
thank
though.
You very much. I was asked the very same night that they made it public that they have now secured the national rights deal and They asked me if I wanted to go on, and that was from
Montreal.
Trevor, who's one of the head honchos, and Elliot's one of Elliot's many bosses, I'm sure, over there. Mm-hmm. And
who is
and
this
Scott.
Guy?
Who reached out to him?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Steve Sloan?
I did talk to Steve, yeah. And then Trevor
Pilling.
Yeah. And Scott Moore.
Blessed it. The Pope.
So I don't know. I would think it was, listen, I mean, there's a great relationship that obviously had started throughout the negotiations of this deal with CBC and Sportsnet moving forward. And I think it was just a goodwill gesture from both sides.
It was a nice thing to do.
So it's a one-off. You don't expect to ever go back again.
And they said, well, if the trade is if I do one of those, we have to take Elliot Freeman for the next, like, 25 times.
But he's already here.
I don't know why Scott agreed to it, but...
So. Everybody makes a bad deal, right?
Bad deal.
Every GM has the trade that they regret.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all unfolds. Nobody really knows anything around here, or people do know, but they're keeping it.
They're not.
I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, you do.
What's happening?
So Elliot's going to be working Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Well, I already told him that yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, so after we got off air, he says, you're just going to be working.
You're going to be very busy.
Yeah.
What are you smiling about?
I've got nothing to smile about. Zero.
What days do you think you'll have off?
I'm lucky.
Let me tell
I've
you
got
the days
Tuesday
you've got
at 5:15, which I'm sometimes late for. And it's no fault of my own. They've got me doing an insider down there.
Well,
and then
they are
somebody
not
screws it
where?
Up.
Who are you doing insider
every
on?
Tuesday we do insiders, NHL insiders.
Oh, is that the one with you and Johnston and Shannon taped?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Sometimes. And then they run it through
rotating
like
cast of
five
characters.
Different games that night. That's the way the magic of television.
You working tonight?
It's not so magic.
Yeah, we got Toronto-Boston tonight. Okay. That's the Sportsnet Ontario game.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to that conversation.
Yes, a wonderful one.
Is there any reason for Leaf fans to feel optimistic based on a victory the other night, Sunday night?
No, I don't think so, because it looks like something that we've already seen already.
Yeah, it was a win, but
it's a repeat of what we've seen all year, and that's most often than not they need an overtime and then a shootout, and they're a top team in the shootout, and they've got some guys that are doing a great job like JVR and Loop before them in the shootout, and then they have to have Reimer and more often Bernier as the first or second star, or else they don't win. And that's not a very convincing recipe for anyone to believe that they're making progress here.
I am not going to. I don't want anybody to think that I'm blaming Colton Orr for anything that's wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs, because that would be stupid. Having said that, it's pretty clear that he ain't sucking anybody in to what he would like to do. And what he feels his role is on this club. And if that's the case, is it time to, you know, cut bait?
Well, I think
or at least
he,
not stop
I think
dressing
he's,
him?
He's on a Brian Burke, I think, before he left, gave him... No, the original one was a four-year deal. And I think then before he left, I think he gave him a two-year extension. Mm-hmm. It's a short-term thing. I'm with you, and I certainly wouldn't blame it on a guy like Colton or McLaren or Fraser to a lesser extent, but there just seems to be the perception of whatever they had in terms of image-wise, they've lost.
Because teams won't fight them.
Even if they don't fight them, mm-hmm. Elliot, and I've kind of lived through this, you can make it tough on your opponent even without fighting. I mean, it's work. I mean, there are times this year where we saw Colton Orr turn the other cheek on John Scott and Peros, I think, in Montreal, where it just seemed like there was a chance to engage, even if it's not a fight, even if it's a scrum, or you're getting in the faces of the better players, and then you have their tough guys come in, and it creates a certain energy, and that energy can sometimes wear on other players, and it just doesn't seem to be there. Every time there seems to be some sort of energy towards that. They just kind of look it off and then they just skate away. And that's not a good thing for Colton, or it's not a good thing for Fraser McLaren. It's not a good thing for Fraser. And I take kind of Fraser off the hook a little bit here because he hasn't been healthy.
And they also need him and, to play.
Well,
you can't have your defense.
He had a career year. Yeah, he had a career year where he was playing like 16, 17 minutes and he was making a good first pass and he was hitting guys and he did fight every once in a while. And now you're like, okay, where's that every year? And maybe it's not there. But I just see whatever, they were a miserable team to play against and they're just not anymore. And that's that, you know, that's not good for them.
You know, it's interesting. I went through all their games this year. They've played 47 games. And I looked at the time of their fourth line compared to the teams they were playing against. And in 39 of their 47 games, they have at least one player who plays less than everybody else on the other team. And I think in 30 of those games, they have at least two and sometimes three. I don't think you can play like that in the NHL anymore.
Well, help me out with that. What you're saying is their fourth line is playing less than anybody else's?
Anybody else.
And they're right out of the equation now.
They're right out of the equation now.
Yeah.
They're playing three and four. And in the NHL, you can't do that anymore.
I know.
But you just can't afford to put them on the ice because they're not producing.
But that what I'm saying is that they're going to have to get some people down there who they try. You can't play three lines anymore, Bob.
So they have to move some bodies.
They have to move some bodies or get some guys.
Clarkson's
in there
finding
trust.
Tough time to get some ice time out of Randy Carlyle right now.
But he's been trying with McClement and Kuhlman to play them at least. Like they were in a 4-1 game in Carolina last week after a TV timeout, and he put them on an offensive zone draw. He's trying to get those guys going.
And it seems like if Lupul or Kessel or Bozak now haven't got it going, there's zero secondary scoring. Mason Raymond's been actually really good in terms of producing,
mm-hmm.
But if that dries up tomorrow, no one would really be surprised. There are a lot of teams that could use some secondary scoring, and you know, how long can you wait for Kadri? Right, I mean he'll end up with 45 points, maybe 50 points. And is he a 60? You know, I don't think we'll ever have him as a point-a-game guy. Maybe one day down the road, but he doesn't appear to be anywhere near that.
I would love to see. The tough thing last year is the 48-game season, Nick. And, like, I looked at his numbers. He averaged 0.92 points a game last year at age 22, and it's only 48 games. And if you do a search on all the guys who average 0.92 points a game at age 22, it's pretty good. Like, there's some superstars on that list, you know, he's not in the same class of. But there's, like, Mike Richards, Kopitar, Paul Stastny, guys that, you know, you would look at Kadri and said if he turned out to produce at that level, you'd be pretty happy. You know, Nick, I'd like to see – it was interesting this morning, I guess, Chris Johnston reported that Carlisle said he's been playing McClement too much. And I wonder if that means – I'd like to see Kadri get a full year, an 82-game year, where he's playing 18 minutes a night. And then I think we'd really know what we have.
Yeah, and I think it's great that Carlisle can say that. But once you're hemmed in for two or three shifts in a row and
you go to the guy
full
you like
panic,
and
you are going to sit there and say, okay, I'm not thinking offense anymore. I'm just thinking about being on the right side of the puck in my own zone. Mm-hmm. Just get the thing out. And right now – there just doesn't seem to be a lot of trust amongst each other or to a lesser extent or more of a extent between the coach and the players now. They lack confidence that what we saw at the end of 48 games last season going into they really believed that they could beat Boston.
And they should.
And Kadri said it.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that's kind of boldy a little bit of Kadri. But, you know, he was within 10 minutes of being right. I think if they were to step in with Boston or Pitt, their first feeling is, boys, we haven't got our house in order here. We couldn't beat ourselves in an inner squad game right now.
This they got to get to the playoffs first.
This goalie thing is—it's weird how it's.
Well, I was going to ask.
Now.
Here's what.
It's
well,
strange.
I mean, I think
strange?
We have. Well, I think we have the answer. We know who the number one goaltender is.
They want
the
Bernier,
only
yeah.
thing. The only thing that hasn't happened yet is an announcement. And I don't know. Do you need an announcement?
I don't think you do. I don't think you do. All you do is just pour gasoline on the obvious, and I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't. I think it is what it is. I've said it right from the get-go that this was never a two-man race. This was a guy that they thought that they upgraded with. And early in the season, he didn't want to disrespect Reimer, and he gave Reimer the start to the opening of the season, mm-hmm. which, you know what, is great.
Fine.
It's
nice
fine.
Thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, Reimer was good. He was good, and he was competitive, and he
so he had,
and
he to, kept give him, himself. He had to give him
well,
games.
It was whatever the reason was, it was working. He
yeah.
could get he could keep them both in there,
yep.
and they stocked points.
Yep.
They got off to a great mm-hmm. start, and they banked a lot of points. And now that it's gone south on them a little bit, or at least the inconsistencies crept in a lot more than it had in October, November, they've lost all the points that they banked, and now they're in a seven-team race for two spots.
Everybody's caught up to them.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. Now all of a sudden those, you know, conceivably two or three teams could tie now mm-hmm. for a playoff spot, and the Leafs would be on the outside looking in with all those non-regulation wins.
The thing I think it's weird about it, Kipper, is not that I disagree with it per se, but it's just that, you know, it's the right long-term move to give Bernier, if you believe that Bernier is your number one guy, and they clearly do, give him all the games. Make him play 60 games and see how he handles it. But they're sort of doing it with him, and they're not doing it with some of the other guys that they need to do the same things with,
yeah.
and that's Kadri and Gardner. Like, just throw them out there and see what you got.
The other night, Jake Gardner not playing in Carolina, to me, just...
Yeah, Damian and I disagreed on that one. I thought it was weird.
Me.
He had no issue.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. That's where I sit there and say, okay, you know what? You got to kind of live and die with him a little bit here on a nightly basis. At that position, still fairly young, right? Morgan Rielly, completely, benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Jake to a lesser extent, but... You know what? There's a team that lacks confidence right now. So you tell me what that does to a young kid like that. What did it do to Lyles? And he's a veteran, right? So you got to protect that a little bit.
Bruins tonight, Bernier in goal for the 10th time in the last 11 Leaf games. It'll be 10 and 11 as of tonight. That pretty much tells you everything you need to know. Right?
And the other thing is he needs to be the first or second star for the Leafs to have a chance. That's the other thing
we can
tell
you. Because
he's
going to face 40 shots, you know. Pretty sure, and it's going to be like 40-28.
Odds are that will be the case.
Oh, yeah. You can. I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a lineup for it in Vegas right now. But you'd have to lay big numbers in order to take the Bruins to outshoot the Leafs, because it's a pretty obvious one. Kiprios?
All right.
Carry on back to your whatever it is you have to do downstairs.
Elliot, great seeing you, bud.
Good to see you too, Kipper.
Hope you two will be seeing a lot more of each other.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Preferably not on the unemployment line. Toronto Olympics 2024. Get serious. That's next when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Minutes before the hour, McCowan and Friedman in the Toronto studio. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated and Paul Maurice, the new head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, will join us in the next hour. But first, I was hoping we wouldn't have to have this conversation again in my life. We've had more than a few of these. A couple of times before, Toronto has decided, or somebody has decided, that Toronto should bid for the Olympic Games. And fortuitously, we have lost both of those bids. Lost one to Beijing and one to Atlanta, is that right?
That's correct, 96-2008.
Right. So I guess it's premature to say that there's another bid at hand, but at least somebody has decided to put a committee together or do a study or something, start the wheels in motion for a bid for 24 Summer Olympics. Fortunately, I won't be around to talk about it.
Are you,
but we're going to talk about it today.
Do you think you will expire before then, or is that what you're talking about?
My contract will expire.
Oh, okay.
My career will expire. I may expire too. I may expire myself if they get this bid. Just do it to myself. Put myself out of my misery. Either that, or I'll make a crap load of money renting my house out.
There you go.
Michael Thompson is a Toronto City Councilor. He joins us to talk about this. Mr. Thompson, good of you to take time for us.
Good afternoon. Good evening to both of you.
And
Bob, I'm hoping that you will live a long, long time and not expire anytime soon.
Yeah, bless
either
you.
Either your contract or your life.
Yeah, well, bless
you're
you.
You're a Scarborough guy, after all.
Yeah, I am. But look, this, I could have a heart attack if you guys continue to go down this road. So if you want me to live a longer life, stop this nonsense once and for all. $6 billion, we're just going to flush it down the toilet. We don't have enough money to clean up from the flood and the ice.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Let's be very clear as to what is actually being considered. It's, you know, a councillor decided that he wanted to ask for a report. It put through a motion to council. It was supported, so staff came back with a feasibility report, which is what's coming to my committee on Monday at Economic Development. I can tell you the recommendations in the report are to receive the report, which basically means no action to be taken. So hopefully your heart's not pumping too hard.
So what would have, and you're, you know, help me out with this,
sure.
Because usually these things start through either a politician or often an ex-politician, and right. Then a bunch of ex-Olympians.
Yes.
Who think, wouldn't this be a great idea? Because, of course, they don't have to take a nickel out of their pockets. And and the ball gets rolling, and people jump on the bandwagon because it's politically correct. They think they can make brownie points. Guys love to schmooze and be able to stick out their chest and say, well, look, at I helped get us the Olympic Games, blah, blah, blah. And I bet we've been down this road a couple times, so we know the whole how the game plays. What's the next step here?
So the next step is for the matter of the report, which is now out and you're speaking about it, is for that report to come to the Economic Development Committee, which I chair, and for people to, you know, to say, yes, it's a good thing or no, it's not a good thing. And so, as you pointed out, that we've had two kicks of the can already at this. And now we are actually facing many fiscal constraints that are very serious for the city's growth and the city's future. And so we have to look at what our priorities are. I think I can safely tell you right now our priority is not an Olympics for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Our priority is about transit. Our priority is obviously
right.
housing. Our priority is daycare, infrastructure, water, a variety of things. In fact, we could spend $6.7 or $6.9 billion on transit alone and still not be at a level where we need to be today. So I can tell you, while this discussion is taking place, there are many serious priorities for the City of Toronto, least of which is the Olympics in 2024.
So some have pointed to the 2015 Pan Am Games, which regrettably we will also be hosting.
Yep.
And we're building, now what is this, I forget, what's the number on the Pan Am Games? Is it 3 billion or 1 point something billion? I can't.
I think it's closer to 1.5 or 3 billion.
Okay.
I'm not actually 100% certain of the number.
No, and I forget too, but whatever it is, it's a big number. It's got a lot of zeros in it.
Yep.
So we're spending all this money. Is there a single thing that we're building for the Pan Am Games for 2015 that can be used as a point of leverage for 2024, as if to say, well, look, we're going to have this, and we can, and that means we don't have to build one for 2024.
Well, that's what Rio did, Bob, by the way. That's why Toronto started this project, because that's the way Rio handled it.
Yeah, but wait a second. What are we building? What are we building that'll be good for the Olympics?
Yeah, so I think Rio obviously had it right. They basically build bigger in order to compensate in terms of cost and scale and so on. Toronto, for the Pan Am preparation, I don't think we've gone that large because clearly at the time there was no real consideration for the Olympic bid, if you will. But since the Pan Am has been obviously won by Toronto and Ontario, there is now the consideration for the Olympics. But I can say this to you both, that it's right now, it's a lot of chatter. You know, there's a lot of American cities who want this, Boston, Dallas, and to name a few. There are many international city, France, Russia, Nairobi, Kenya, and, you know, Madrid, Spain, all these other places want the Olympics. I can say to you that we actually have a really prudent, fiscally wise municipal government, although some people may differ to view it differently at City Hall at the moment, where we want to focus on what our real priorities are. We can actually create jobs and create opportunities that one can say the Olympics actually will bring to us without actually having to spend, you know, $50 billion just to bid, $1 million to basically do a report, and at the end of the day, up to $6.9 billion to perhaps build stadiums that you'll probably never use again. I've been to China, and I've seen those facilities there. The Bird Nest Stadium in China is basically, it's a shell right now, and I don't want to see those types of facilities in Toronto. We want to focus on transit, we want to focus on housing, and many of the other real priorities for the city. So while we're going through the exercise, I don't really think that this is going to see the light of day, to be quite frank with you both.
Thank God.
Well, because, you know, there's a story that came out this week, Michael, that said the Sochi Olympics is going to cost $51 billion.
Yes.
What did you think when you saw that?
Well, when I heard it, I was gasping for air, quite frankly, because I know the variety of things that we could do as a city with $51 billion or even $6 billion it's absolutely enormous. And to basically chase after Olympic bid, and by the way, the $50 million that you actually have to send in with your bid application, if you don't win, you don't get that back.
$50 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay for those big hotel rooms to stay in, Michael.
Yeah. Well,
those expensive dinners.
So
they can't be giving you $50 million back.
We got 2 minutes here, Michael. So the report hits your desk on Monday to vote on or examine.
It's our committee. Yes, that's correct.
Right.
And there's a recommendation to simply receive it. And what that means is this: receiving it for information, which means we take no action. Now, some person could move a motion saying that we do take action and continue with the study, but I'm not sure that the support is strongly there for that type of action at this point.
And that'd be about $1 million, they figure,
that'd
for the next
about
step.
$1 million, that's correct.
And your sense is it probably won't go that far?
I don't believe that it will.
All right. So it's much ado about nothing. I got my shorts all in a knot over nothing.
Well, I want you to be alive and well and kicking and to continue and not to expire, Bob. You know that.
Well, and the only thing is, though, I have mixed emotions. And I mean, because, yes. You know, I could get a crap load if I rented out my house during the Olympics. So, you know, could be an economic benefit for me here. And, you know, I'm all for that. I mean.
So I would simply say that there probably are some other things that we should be looking at and to see what other means is in which you could actually
generate some ancillary income. Yes.
Well, exact for your house without necessarily spending $6 billion.
Anything you can help, Michael, well, you know, it's greatly appreciated. But, well, listen, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us and easing my tension.
Pleasure. Anything for you.
We appreciate
it. You know, Michael, I wish you hadn't come on because I wanted to see Bob riled up and angry for at least another night.
Oh, really? I'm sorry about that. But, Elliot, can I also just say that there is an opening for a job in the city of Toronto, mayor and councillors and so on. So just in case the other options don't work out for you, like, give me a call.
I got to tell you, Michael, I appreciate the offer, but I also don't need the blood explosion interior blood explosion of doing those jobs. Oh, my God.
Michael Thompson, Toronto City Councillor. Thanks again. We'll put that one to bed for the time being and hope that Mr. Thompson is accurate in his assessment of where this thing is going, which he believes is basically into the garbage can.
Well, if he is the chairman of the city's Economic Development Committee.
And he is.
He would probably know.
He would probably know, which is why we had him on. But the story is, you know, you get scared when these things start to get some legs. And what we really need to do, we need to chop the legs out of this story before anybody gets a hold of it. And you know the usual suspects.
Like who?
Well, like my friend Peterson, you know, who just thinks we should have everything, every event. Let's have a World's Fair. Let's have a World's Cup. Let's have an Olympics. Let's have the Pan Am Games. Let's have.
Fix the Gardner Expressway. Then you can do whatever you want.
That'd be a good idea, too. Back in a minute.